The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 595, A Clock in Their Stomach. Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the folks over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Drop by over at Weavers and check out some of the amazing Mayberry items they have over there. And I think they're amazing because now you can get a Floyd's Barbershop comb. That's right, you can get a comb that says Floyd's Barbershop, Two Chairs No Waiting. You've got to get that if you listen to the podcast. Or maybe you want to pick up some of the Mayberry Finest Country Ham. There's a sale. Get two packages and save $4. Head over to weaversdepartmentstore.com and check it out. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners like you, the executive producer of episode number 595, or the attendees from the Mayberry Meetup 2020. Yay! Thank you, guys. They took up money and had a little raffle thing and gave away prizes and helped sponsor the podcast to help pay my expenses. And I want to thank them all for doing that. So thank you, everybody who contributed to that. And you are an executive producer tonight. So thank you. Hello, I'm Alan Newsom, your host for Two Chairs No Waiting, and I've been doing this for almost 12 years. Woo, gosh, almost 12 years. We'll be there in October. And this podcast has been, we have covered everything. I mean, going back and forth. After all this time that we've spent here on the podcast talking about stuff, I always still kind of am amazed that there's still so much Mayberry to talk about. I mean, I would talk about the same thing over and over. I mean, I watch reruns like you do over and over of the Andy Griffith Show, but I ran across something really cool, and that's what we're going to talk about. The podcast name is A Clock in Their Stomach, because I was trying to be clever and come up with some name that wouldn't give away everything. But I don't know how to, I'm just not going to be able to do that. I can't do a Paul Harvey. So what we're going to talk about tonight is actually, you may have already known this. Do you know about Barney's mother? Now, Barney's mother appeared in one episode of the Andy Griffith Show. Now, you may not remember that, but it was called The Manhunt. That was the name of the episode that she was in. And she was out there, and Barney was trying to find the escaped convict. And at some point she goes, "But Barney, I'm your mother." I don't know if you remember that, but that's who Barney's mother was. Well, MeTV ran an article not too long ago that said the woman who played Barney's Fife's mom owned more of Mayberry than you realize. Dum bum bum. That's where you play that music if I had it, but I don't. But that's where it is. So Barney Fife's mom owned more of Mayberry. So you did know that Barney's mom appeared on at least one episode of the Andy Griffith Show. That's what I was telling you a second ago. A better question is, did you know anything else about her other than that, you know, that quick moment when she was on the show? She was in the second ever episode of the Andy Griffith Show called The Manhunt, as I said, and Andy and Barney were searching for the escaped criminal. The sheriff and has his deputy Barney out there on a stakeout in the back roads, and ever diligent, you know, he pulls over everybody. He pulled over and stops and frisk Mayor Pike. You know, he pulled over the mayor and was frisking him to make sure it wasn't the convict. And Barney even pulled over his own mom. And that's when she had said, "But Barney, I'm your mother." That's the only time we ever saw this lady. Her scene was just a really quick moment on the Andy Griffith Show. And we never saw her again in the entire run of the series. We never saw her again. I mean, that's just so hard for me to believe that they never brought her back in here. So the link to this article will be in our show notes. So if you want to go and read the actual article, it will be there. So in 60s televisions, experts, people who watched a lot of 1960s might recognize the actress who played Barney's mom. All right. Her name is Lillian Culver. And she's probably best known for a recurring role that she had as a busybody and a socialite, Mrs. Schooner, on Dennis the Menace. Now, I did not know that. But you guys may have known that. I did not. Okay, so Lillian Culver was her name. And so she was much more prominent in the role of Hollywood than just on the Andy Griffith Show that one time, right? So she was the wife of a real estate investor or a developer, and she married him in 1916. His name was Harry Culver. You know, her name's Lillian Culver. And he had, he basically had announced at some point there to Los Angeles that he was going to build a brand new city near Los Angeles. And naturally he called it, you know, Culver City. So you guys have heard of Culver City, right? You've heard of that. The city was incorporated in 1917, and it was only a year after that he had married Lillian that they did this. All right. So if you don't realize, Culver City is just southwest of Hollywood. It's a little bit nearer the ocean out there, and it became a prominent place in the motion picture industry. So it really, you know, it grew. It became a prominent place where they did a lot of stuff. Silent comedy visionary Hal Roach, he planted his studio there. So he built a studio there, as did MGM and RKO Pictures. They constructed at RKO 40 acres studio lot there in Culver City. Now, you guys remember about 40 acres. Now, 40 acres was where they filmed, you got it, the Andy Griffith Show was filmed at 40 acres. So that's all tied into her. Desi Lou Productions, where Andy Griffith Show was made, became the owner of the 40 acre lots, and it used it as a production base for many television series, including, of course, Andy Griffith. The outdoor streets and facades of 40 acres are most familiar as Mayberry to us. To you and me. So without the Culvers building Culver City, we might not have had Mayberry at all. And Lillian Culver, who lived to be 103 years old, she passed away in 1999. So I just thought this was a really neat story. I started looking a little bit more into her. She was in a bunch of series. She was born in 1896 and didn't pass away until 1999. She was 103 years old. Her daughter's name was Lillian, and she passed away in 2001, just 4 years after her mom. But she was 84 when she passed. So it was just a neat thing. I didn't know if you knew that Barney Fife's mother, the actress in real life, her husband had built Culver City, where 40 acres was, 40 acres studio backlot. So, the husband's name was Harry Culver. And there's a lot of information out on the internet if you want to go and read more about him. It's all out there. You can just look him up, Harry Culver, and you'll find out all about the man who created Culver City. And then Barney's mom was there. So that's it. That's what I have. I just thought this was a really cool thing. I had never seen this before. I didn't know about her at all. She was in a lot of movies, by the way. She was in Dragnet, Dennis the Menace. Her last role was in My Favorite Martian. In almost all of these, she only played one or two or maybe three episodes. She didn't play very many, a recurring character very often. She was in My Favorite Martian, and the first episode she was in, her character's name was just Plump Lady, which that was kind of harsh. but that was her name. And then she played Mrs. Peabody. And then the last time she was on My Favorite Martian, she was Woman. That was the character name. So she was a character actress. And so most of the movies and shows, TV shows and stuff that she was in, she just did small roles. Dennis the Menace is the exception, where she was in 7 episodes of Dennis the Menace. But in general, they were all one-shot things that she was in. So that's why we never saw Barney's mom again. So I just think it would have been cool to have seen her, especially with that clock in her stomach. That's why you remember she and her Barney had a clock in her stomach. Did it ever keep your daddy awake? So anyway, that's what I heard. And so I hope you enjoyed hearing that. That's really all I've got for you tonight. But luckily, we have a special report from our buddy and roving reporter, Randy Turner.
Welcome to This Week in Mayberry History, a report by special correspondent Randy Turner of the Gomer and Cooper Pyle Comic Book Literary Guild of the Mayberry Historical Society.
Alberta Nelson acted in movies and television for less than a decade, but racked up memorable appearances in both a popular movie series and TV series, the latter being, of course, The Andy Griffith Show. Alberta was born on August the 14th, 1937, in Erie, Pennsylvania. She attended what at the time was called the Andrews School for Girls for at least some of her teenage years. The school, which is now an academy for both boys and girls, is located about 20 miles east of Cleveland and an hour and a half west of Erie across the state line. Alberta graduated in 1955 and briefly attended the St. John's Hospital School of Nursing that fall. Alberta had a cousin who was a theatrical producer who encouraged her to pursue theater. She initially acted in local community theater in her hometown of Erie in productions at the highly regarded Erie Playhouse, which had been founded in 1882. After several productions over the next few years, she eventually was cast as the girl, the only name given to the female lead in the play, The 7-Year Itch. This is the same role played by Marilyn Monroe in the 1955 film version. In the late 50s, Alberta moved to New York City, where she did stage acting and modeling. While she was not part of the original cast, Alberta made her Broadway debut when she took over a role in the winter of 1959 in The Gang's All Here, a review about President Warren Harding, not long after it opened on October the 1st. The show ran through January the 23rd, 1960. The fall after that review closed, Alberta returned to The Great White Way in a small role in The Wall, a dramatic play about the 1943 Warsaw Uprising against the Nazis. The lead was played by George C. Scott. The show opened October the 11th, 1960, and ran successfully until March the following year. Perhaps it was her experience in her last Broadway play that convinced Alberta to move to California. Alberta played a small role in the production Once There Was a Russian. It opened and closed the same night, February the 18th, 1961. Whatever the reason, Alberta quickly found success in Hollywood. She made her television debut in the horror anthology show hosted by Boris Karloff, Thriller, on Christmas Day, 1961. Over the next 2 years, she appeared in 5 more series, including Death Valley Days, Dr. Kildare, and The Red Skelton Hour. In August of 1963, she made her first appearance in a popular series of movies commonly called the Beach Party movies. The franchise name came from this first film, entitled Beach Party. The films usually starred Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello. American International Pictures, more commonly referred to simply as AIP, produced 7 Beach Party films set at a beach between 1963 and 1968. Other studios soon copied the idea, but this film is considered the one to have given birth to the genre. In this movie and the following six, the two leads were always vexed by a leather-clad group of bikers called the Rat Pack, with the men called rats and the women called mice. Alberta normally played one of the mice, and occasionally her character was even given a name. In Pajama Party, the fourth Beach Party movie, Annette still played the female lead, while Disney child star Tommy Kirk of Old Yeller took over for Frankie. Frankie returned for the fifth movie, Beach Blanket Bingo, but was replaced again, this time by Dwayne Hickman, TV's Dobie Gillis, in the next of the franchise, How to Stuff a Wild Bikini. This film was the first in which Alberta was called Puss. Alberta played different characters in Sergeant Deadhead and Dr. Goldfoot in The Bikini Machine, but in the 1966 installment, Ghost in the Invisible Bikini, Alberta returned as Puss. This was the only film of the series that did not star either Frankie or Annette. There were other of these AIP films that are loosely considered Beach Party movies simply because they have much of the same cast and crew, even though they did not take place on the beach. Of the seven films in the series that did take place in a beach setting, Alberta holds the distinction of being the only cast member to appear in all seven. After Alberta had filmed her role in the Ghost in the Invisible Bikini installment of the film series, for which she is best known, she next appeared in the television series for which she is best known, The Andy Griffith Show. But her first appearance was not as the character she was known for in Mayberry, as we will discuss next week in Part 2. That's it for this week. As always, thanks for listening, and remember to take care of yourself, care for one another, and take Andy's advice and act like somebody.
Thank you, Randy. Always great to hear. And now he's left us with a cliffhanger. If you want to make sure you don't miss out on what he's going to tell us, send him an email at turnersgrade@gmail.com. Turnersgrade@gmail.com. And he'll make you sure you don't miss out on any of the fun Mayberry stuff he keeps coming up with. So yeah, he's got a cliffhanger for next week. So now we got to find out what did Alberta do. So thank you. That is awesome. So, I forgot to mention as I was going through that about Lillian Culver. I think I mentioned her daughter. Her daughter's name was Patricia, and she passed away in 2001, just 4 years after her mother. Like I said, she was about 84 years old at the time. One other little bit of trivia I didn't tell you that Lillian Culver, she is the third cousin twice removed of actor Brad Pitt. So that's, I think that's far enough away they could have married if they were contemporary with each one of them. But third cousin twice removed, that's pretty far distance, but that is their relationship. I did not confirm this was in IMDb as some trivia about her, so there you go. So everybody's related to Brad Pitt in some way, evidently. That's good. I don't know who did the research to find out that she was Brad Pitt's third cousin twice removed. But that's, so that means Barney is related to Brad Pitt because his mother is Brad Pitt's cousin, third cousin twice removed. You know, somebody had to spell Fife correctly eventually. So, all right, guys, that is what I had for you today, tonight. This is a little shorter episode, but if you didn't hear last week's episode, go back and check it out because it was a little long. So between the two, it'll make us even out and we'll be complete. So I think I've already told everybody who's listening. Hopefully you heard. So next month, in the month of September, there won't be regular episodes. There's going to be a few coming out because I'm trying to arrange to have at least a couple. But because I'll be part of the Mayberry Man movie, I'll be tied up and traveling. I won't be able to probably put out episodes during that time, but be watching the Facebook page and perhaps even the Two Chairs No Waiting page. I'll try to put out some live information, do some live feeds maybe in our Facebook group. One other thing I wanted to mention coming up. Let's see, when is it going to be? I got to look that up. I didn't write that down. Coming up in a couple of weeks, it's going to be August 28th and 29th. And since you stuck around till the end, you're hearing about this. We're going to have a virtual Mayberry meetup. Boom. There it is. Virtual Mayberry meetup. And if you are a member of our Facebook group for Two Chairs, not the page, but the group. Okay, the group, you've got to request to join, and you have to get accepted. So you have to fill out the paperwork and everything, fill out and do the answers to the questions it asks you. And then you can be a part of the group, not the page. Okay, so it's a different thing. So we have facebook.com/twochairs. That's the page. What you want to go to is the one that says Two Chairs, No Waiting Mayberry Podcast Group on Facebook. If you're on there and people are popping in, let me close these down. You will be able to see when we're going to be having the virtual meetup. Okay. So the virtual meetup, it will be announced in that, as far as the times exactly, but it's going to be Friday and Saturday, August 28th and 29th at 8 o'clock Eastern time. We're going to try to do a meetup. We're going to try to get together and just have some fun. And we'll be announcing it and the information for it there on the Facebook group. If you're a patron, you will also be getting the information on Patreon as well. So you'll be able to get that information. Yeah. And it's a secret. So only people that are part of the group or the people that are in patron or support the podcast are supposed to get into this live virtual meetup. We can only have 100 people. I don't think we'll have 100, but if you want to be a part of it, join the group so you'll get the information, or be a patron. Hey, be a patron. That's even better, because then that means you're giving me some money to keep the show going. I love it. So anyway, we're going to have a little virtual meetup. We'll probably try to, I don't know, watch some videos, maybe play some games, just visit with one another. I know several people weren't able to come to the actual meetup, and so we wanted to have a virtual meetup just so that we could get together and visit and have some fun. So we had a little practice run through last Wednesday night, and it all seemed to go pretty well. So we think we've got it. We think it'll be pretty fun, but we can only have 100 people. So the first 100 that get there on Friday and Saturday night, we'll be able to get in. And sorry, if there's more than that, I'm sorry. So we'll do good. So Jan's around here behind me. So I think the podcast, that's it. That's all I had for you tonight.
He said ham.
Did I say ham at the beginning? Oh, it's country bacon. Yeah. So okay. if you heard me giving the Weavers commercial, it's country bacon. Not country ham. So order a country bacon. Yeah, okay. I didn't realize I said that. I'm so used to saying country ham, I guess, because at Cracker Barrel. Oh, anyway. All right, guys, that is all I've got for you tonight. I would love to hear from you. Give me a call at 888-684-8415. Let me know what you think. Did you know that about Lillian already? Lillian Culver? Did Barney's mom actually owned Mayberry? Did you know that? I didn't know that. Yeah, so let me know what you think. Give us some feedback about the podcast, Randy's reports, last week's podcast with Danny. Whatever you've got to say, I'd love to hear it, and I know other folks would like to hear from you as well. So give me a call, email me at floyd@imayberry.com, or just drop by twochairsnowaiting.com. All the information's there, and you'll find it. All right, guys, until next time, we'll see you right here on Two Chairs. Have a great week.
The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen ed provided by Strayer University affiliates Sophia Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.